If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of West Central Indiana comes the weekly voice of reason in our very unreasonable world with the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. You hear us each week on Blog Talk Radio trying to help the American people retain what God has given us through the Constitution and the founding documents of this great country. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show with your infidel sitting behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom and liberty. And now, here is your host, Robert Garding.
I had to change that this week. I decided that my show was didn't have quite the right stuff, and I changed a few things. I'm also glad I came in a little early today, because if I hadn't, I'd have missed my show altogether. I had the thing listed as being at 4 o'clock Central, not 3, so I had to go in and change it a couple of minutes ago. But after my show last week, I came across a cartoon that had one caption at the bottom, and there were two frames in there. The first frame said, abortion is every woman's right. It's her body and her choice. Now, the second frame had the same politician in it, but this time he was saying, now I'd like to unveil my new bill to ban soda, salt, sugar, smoking, cake, candy, meat, tobacco. Now, the cartoon was one called Still Evident, and I really felt that it really gave me a good way to start this show, abortion and the left's ideals. The leftists and the progressive politicians are all saying as if in one voice, abortion is every woman's right, it's her body, her choice. Yet, at the same time, they are all saying that we are not smart enough to know what we want in our bodies, so they want to ban soda, salt, sugar, smoking, cake, candy, meat, tobacco, and the one thing that they left out, guns. And it kind of makes me feel like the politicians do not know what is going on in this nation, because they still think that we don't know what we want. But it's like I said, if abortion is every woman's right, then wouldn't consuming sodas, sugar, salt, cake, and all that other stuff be our right too? How about shooting guns? They are our bodies, and it is our right to do with them what we want, right? Wrong, according to the left. We are too stupid to know what to do with our bodies to do the right things, yet when it comes to abortion, we are smart enough. At least the women are. And I say that you can't have it both ways. And like I've been saying all this time, last few weeks, why isn't someone confronting them on this? And I'm going to actually say this several times today, because it seems like no matter what the left says or what Obama says or what anybody in the hierarchy of government, and it doesn't have to be a leftist. I mean, it can be, you know, John McCain. Nobody says anything when he says something stupid either. But I see it in cartoons and in shows like mine that have a following that, if compared to the whole country, isn't even worth a gram of a grain of salt. Yet, and even Fox News won't report on that one. Why? Because the left and the progressives have us going in so many directions that it would be next to impossible for all of us to hit everything that they are hitting us with. Does that mean we should give up and just take what they are giving? No, nothing of the sort. But it does what it does mean is that we need to start getting better at hitting back, or we will continue to lose. And the sad part about this is the more we lose, the faster the next loss will come. This is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the New Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on BTR through ConservativeNationRadio.org. And welcome to the show, folks. Good to see you all here. whole thing of the government deciding for us what we can and cannot do in our lives, then turning around and telling women that their bodies are theirs so they can do what they want when it comes to killing a growing baby inside them is nothing more than stupid and insanity incarnate. The same thing is happening with words, too, words like coup and terrorism. And I have an explanation that from Western Center of Journalism in an article titled 13 Americans Dead, the Suspect, President Obama. And this one is an interesting article, folks. Washington, D.C. is a town run largely by lawyers. Naturally, this leads to a ton of convoluted and unnecessary legislation, which is really the truth. And this overabundance of legality often leads to twisted logic in our nation's capital and confusion for us. Take the two hotly debated and often misused words, coup and terrorism. You see, when the Egyptian military recently ousted President Morsi, most of the world called that a coup. But for reasons you'll see in a moment, the Obama administration doesn't see it that way. Then there's Major Nidal Hassan's attack on Fort Hood, Texas, in November of 2009, which left 13 people dead and 30 injured, and you'd probably file that one under an act of terror, but according to Obama, you'd be wrong. Time to shed some light on this classic Washington head fake, technically speaking. Coup d'etat is a French word that made its way into the English language. The Oxford Dictionary identifies it as a French expression meaning a stroke of state. Military historian Edward Ludwack says that a coup consists of the infiltration of a small but critical segment of the government's of the state apparatus, which is then used to displace the government from its controls of the remainder. So when the Egyptian military grabbed power and imprisoned President Mohamed Morsi, headlines across the world correctly screamed coup in Egypt. Yet the Obama administration twisted words reign and took on surreal meanings. And in this case, they're simply insisting that the situation in Egypt wasn't actually a coup. Why? Well, the Foreign Assistance Act states that if the duly elected head of government is deposed by military act or decree, then the United States must stop providing aid. But Obama desperately wants to continue pumping $1.55 billion in aid to Egypt. And as I explained back in June, Egypt is collapsing and ungovernable. Without the continued flow of aid, the collapse will accelerate and Egypt's government would likely vanish. This is just another classic example of Obama's team's complete disregard for the law. And if Obama says it's not a coup, then it's not, period, more than semantics. A simple twist of words is playing out in Fort Hood case. Obama's lawyers insist that Hassan isn't a terrorist and that his attack is workplace violence rather than an act of terrorism. According to the FBI, Hassan was an avid reader of jihadi websites. He worshipped at jihadi-influenced mosques, even self-identified himself as a soldier of Allah. He openly supported suicide attacks against non-Muslims and received religious and operational inspiration for Anwar al-Awlaki, or whatever his name is, A-W-L-A-K-I. You may remember him. He was the American citizen and al-Qaeda promoter killed by a U.S. drone because he was deemed a terrorist. Now the administration's refusal to call Fort Hood attack a terrorist attack is seriously impacting the lives of the survivors and the victims. For example, the Pentagon refuses to treat the injured and dead as casualties of war. Consequently, they've been denied the Purple Heart Medal that's bestowed on Americans injured in battle. U.S. House has even passed legislation to force the Pentagon to award the Purple Heart, along with disability and medical benefits associated with the honor, to Fort Hood victims. Sadly, the legislation was killed by Obama and Reid and all the rest of Obama's supporters in the Senate. Now the soldiers and their families are suing the Pentagon to reverse this decision in court. In the meantime, twisted interpretations by our government keep dollars flowing to Egypt while preventing us from adequately caring for injured Americans. unfortunately, laws are no good if the government can interpret their wording at will. And this was written by Floyd Brown, chief political analyst for the Capitol Hill Daily. It seems to me if Obama's people can see what's going on, why shouldn't he? I mean, it seems that I wouldn't think that Obama is that stupid. But then again, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And at times I have called him stupid. But this whole thing, it doesn't take, you know, a fifth grader can see this, yet these people in Washington don't seem to be able to see it. And it really bothers me that we've got these people in such high-paying, high positions of power in our government, and they can't see the obvious, even when it's sitting there slapping them in the face. It just doesn't seem to make any sense to me. But then again, all I am is just a peon with a tiny little radio show and a blog that hasn't even hit a million on hits or and videos that maybe get 100 hits on them when I do them. So I guess I'm no one to contend with. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. It is brought to you by Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And I just absolutely love that one. I had an audio that I was going to download and put in here, and I didn't get it, but our audio essentially says, has Carney talking, you know, Carney, the idiot that stands in front of everybody and talks the president's points when the president is too coward to come out and say it for himself. But Carney comes out and says that 90% of us agree with the Democrats and that the Republicans are voting against 90% of the people. I have to ask this question again, folks, and I'm sorry it sounds like a broken record, but where are the people who will stand up and question this when it's being said? I really don't understand this. The party lately that has been voting with the American people are not the Democrats. Remember Obamacare? 75% of the people didn't want that. The number is just as high now, if not higher, that want it repealed. But there it stands as the law of the land. And the only thing that's kind of going wrong with that is that Obama and his minions are finding out, hey, we've got a boo-boo here, and we've got to do something to fix it before it really destroys us. So they've pushed back a few of the things on it, and they're even thinking about other things about it now. But Carney says on the issue of gun control that 90% of the American people want this, and that the Republicans voted against it and against 90% of the people. Oh, how I wish I was there. I would have asked him to show me the place he got this bogus figure. Where is he getting this information? I never could understand that. One of the reasons they do this is because of the fact that no one questions what they say, and this has to stop, folks. It just has to. And we will be right back after these important messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite writers, and he has several excellent articles lately, one on stopping the brainwashing of Americans, and the other one that I'm going to talk about here is called "Is This Still America?" And he brings up some great points. There are no winners in the trial of George Zimmerman. The only question is whether the damage that has been done has been transient or irreparable. Legally speaking, Zimmerman has won his freedom, but he can still be sued in a civil case and will probably never be safe to live his life in peace as he would have been before this case made him the focus of national attention and orchestrated hate. More important than the fate of George Zimmerman, however, is the fate of the American justice system and of the public's faith in that system and their country. People who have increasingly asked during the lawlessness of the Obama administration, "Is this still America?" may feel some measure of relief. But the very fact that this case was brought in the first place is an absence of serious evidence, which became painfully more obvious as the prosecution strained to try to come up with anything worthy of a murder trial, will be of limited encouragement as to how long this will remain America. The political perversion of the criminal justice system began early and at the top with the President of the United States. Unlike other public officials who declined to comment on criminal cases that have not yet been tried in court, Barack Obama chose to say, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon." Okay. It was a clever way to play the race card, as he had done before. And when Professor Harry Louis Gates of Harvard, was arrested. But it did not stop there. After the local police in Florida found insufficient evidence to ask for Zimmerman to be prosecuted, the Obama administration sent Justice Department investigators to Sanford, Florida, and also used the taxpayers' money to finance local activists who agitated for Zimmerman to be arrested. Political intervention did not end with the federal government. The city manager in Sanford intervened to prevent the usual police procedures from being followed. And when the question arose of identifying the voice of whoever was calling for help during the confrontation between Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, the normal police procedure would have been to let the individuals hear the recording separately rather than have a whole family hear it together. If you want to get individuals' honest opinion, you don't want that opinion to be influenced by others who are present, much less allow a group to coordinate what they are going to say. But when the city managers took this out of the hands of the police and had Trayvon Martin's family plus Rachel Gentile, you know, that one that made the big hubbub this last week, all hear the recording together, that's politics, not law. This was just one of the ways that this case looked like something out of Alice in Wonderland, both in the courtroom and in the media. Educated and apparently intelligent people repeatedly said things that they seemed sincerely and even fervently to believe, but which were unprovable and often even unknowable. In addition, the testimonies of the prosecution's witnesses after, you know, their witness after witness determined its own case. Some critics faulted the attorneys. And there's always somebody to blame here if it doesn't go your way. But the prosecutors had to work with what they had, and they had no hard evidence that would back up a murder charge or even a manslaughter charge. You don't send people to prison on the basis of what other people imagine or on the basis of media sound bites like shooting an unarmed child when the child was beating him bloody. The jury indicated early on as their deliberations began that they wanted to compare hard evidence when they asked for a complete list of the testimony on both sides. Now, once the issue boiled down to hard provable facts, the prosecutor's loud histrionic assertions and sweeping innuendos were just not going to cut it. Nor was repeatedly calling Zimmerman a liar effective, especially when the prosecution misquoted what Zimmerman said, quite possibly over and over again. As an examination of the record would show, the only real heroes in this trial were the jurors. They showed that this is still America, or at least for now, despite politicians who try to cheapen or corrupt the law as if it were some banana republic. Some are already calling for federal indictment of George Zimmerman after he's been acquitted. Now, you can't do that, folks. And Thomas Sowell goes on to ask right there, will this still be America then? And I don't know. And we have to ask this question again when we hear what Attorney General Holder said about the Zimmerman case. And this is stupid. It really is. And it shows just how out of touch everyone is, especially in this administration, and how they don't follow any laws unless it helps them.
The fact is, and the President noted it, and I think, essential to recall, that this is an issue that 90% of the American people support. It is an issue that 90% of Democrats voted for, and one that 90% of Republicans voted against. So 90% of Republicans voted with 10% of the American people. So there is no question the President is disappointed with all those who did not vote yes.
Yes, sirree. I finally found that first audio. So that was pretty cool. So that was the one I was talking about just a little while ago. So here's the one I was talking about now.
But moments after George Zimmerman was acquitted on Saturday evening, social media exploded, with Hollywood drawing special attention to this case. Kirstie Alley, here's some examples of it, tweeted this, quote, "White people used to make black people drink from separate drinking fountains," she said. "Now we just shoot their children." Okay, here's another one. Toni Braxton, "Today I am embarrassed to be an American," she tweeted. And Katy Perry retweeted Ronan Farrow's comment, quote, "American justice still colorblind as long as you're white." There we go. Michelle Malkin joins me now, columnist and Fox News contributor. Michelle, Twitter has given these folks, everybody who wants to take advantage of it, a real forum, a soapbox to stand on during these kinds of events, and some of it comes out looking pretty questionable.
Yeah, looks like the beautiful people got really ugly over the weekend, and we were there to cover it. My curation and aggregation site, twitchy.com, really keeps an ear and an eye on what has turned out to be the world's water cooler. And that can be a perilous thing when people are reacting with such high emotion and heated rhetoric. I think what the kind of insight that it gives us into Hollywood, it's not so much anything that's news-breaking. Certainly, Hollywood is dominated by leftists,
and we are
but
they're not
just liberal.
So, Michelle, I'm going to just jump in for a moment. We will come back to you. These are Eric Holder's live comments in Washington. He will talk about the Trayvon Martin case. Let's listen in.
Violence in communities across the country, the Deltas are deeply and rightly concerned about this case. The Justice Department shares your concern. I share your concern. And as we first acknowledged last spring, we have opened an investigation into this matter. Now,
to me, it's sad that Hollywood has to make their stupidity so well known. You know, like Ally Kersty, who I always thought was a good actress, and others we just heard on the audio, it shows just how ugly the beautiful people of Hollywood can be. When something like that happens, there's not like the not guilty verdict of Zimmerman, they have to show their stupidity. And as like Michelle Malkin said, the beautiful people were really ugly tonight. So here comes our government, and they can't be any better. It seems our government is working overtime to keep the people from knowing the truth, even though the truth is already known and has already been handed down by the jury. The jury system worked here. They weighed the evidence given them and then figured it out for themselves as they went over everything they were informed of during the trial, and also taking into account the things that they noticed during the whole trial, and then they made the right decision. But even so, with that, our so-called attorney general is now coming out and saying that the trial was wrong, and that he is going to look for new charges to be put out against Zimmerman. Our president is also going out on a limb and making statements that are almost as bad, even though he came back and said something else, and I'll get back to that later on. But what Obama said then was the death of Trayvon Martin was a tragedy, not just for his family or for any one community, but for America. I know this case has elicited strong passions, and the wake of the verdict, I know those passions may be running even higher. But we are a nation of laws, and a jury has spoken. Now I ask every American to respect the call for calm reflection from two parents who lost their young son, and as we do, we should ask ourselves if we're doing all we can to widen the circle of compassion and understanding in our own communities. We should ask ourselves if we're doing all we can to stem the tide of gun violence that claims too many lives across this country on a daily basis, and yada, yada, yada. He goes on, and you can see it coming, folks. Here comes another bunch of stuff for gun control. And I just can't get enough of hearing these people, I guess, or they figure that we can't get enough of hearing them talking about how gun control has to be taken care of and it has to be done by them, even though the laws mean nothing to these people except for when they can change them to fit their agendas. And even Michelle Malkin said this, one of the best things I heard on Thursday when it came to political perversion of the criminal justice system began early at the top. Okay, Michelle Malkin was talking about the direction that America is going and being led, and a whole bunch of people got into this whole thing. Rush Limbaugh got into it and went through a whole talk about it and ended it with, is it okay to speak English now without being called a racist? Oh, yeah.
a year ago or two ago, I would have thought that this was a stupid question to ask. But given the things that the administration is doing now, it isn't so far-fetched now, is it? It seems that the meaning of everything is being changed by these people, and there are more facts in this case that the media has left totally alone. Like Zimmerman helped black kids who were homeless all the time. He started neighborhood organizations to help minority kids, always had cared for them. But you probably haven't heard any of this because it doesn't fit the agenda of the left. That Zimmerman was an angry white Hispanic again. And again, what the heck is that? And that he was angry and hated black people. He didn't. I have more in a moment after these messages.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short just in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And
when I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
see what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You know, one of the things I found out this week was that Eric Holder, and I never did find out through the articles that I was reading and trying to find out about, that he set up a special email address so that he could get people to write him and let him know if anybody knew of Zimmerman being hate-filled and doing things that, as a civil rights, you know, violating racist, which he wanted to do, you know, but it doesn't look like he's going to get anything. But from the University of Pennsylvania was another thing that came out this week. So-called religious professor said this: God ain't good all of the time. In fact, sometimes God is not for us. As a black woman in a nation that has taken too many pains to remind me that I am not a white man and I am not capable of taking care of my reproductive rights or my voting rights, I know that this American God ain't my God. As a matter of fact, I think he's a white racist God with a problem. More importantly, he is carrying a gun and stalking young black men. Now I ask you, would you want this woman teaching your children about religion? I know that I wouldn't. And in the day when America was a true republic, this kind of action from a professor of higher learning would never get away with this and would be immediately terminated. And they wouldn't even have to give her or him a reason. That is what should happen to this woman, who, by the way, is Anthena Butler, who is a religious professor at the University of Pennsylvania. From BizPak Review came this one: Butler, who accused Walmart of being sharecroppers and slave owners earlier this year, acts like the country is still in the 1950s Mississippi when she said, God must, most good conservative Christians in America think whatever makes them protected, safe, and secure is worth it at the expense of the black and brown people they fear. Their God is a God that wants to erase race, make everyone act properly and respect, as the president said, a nation of laws, laws that they made to crush those they consider inferior. Now, my question comes up again. And it's the one that I asked a short time ago. I think I've asked it twice on this show already. I asked it on my show before that. Would you want your children taught religion by this bigoted woman? And why didn't anyone stand up and tell her she was wrong? For that matter, why didn't the administration of the University of Pennsylvania stand up and say, hey, cut this out? I mean, it seems like every once in a while, the administration of schools seems to want to stand up and try and protect their schools from something evil happening, but not this time. I don't think that my children right now would be dumb enough to want to be taught by this woman, even at their ages of 14 and 12. I think they know God more than this so-called professor of religion does. She ought to be ashamed for the statement she made, and I'm sure that God won't forget it either. But the problem we are having here in America is the fact that our media treats people like this like gods who know it all and need to be teaching the rest of us what we do not know yet. And the problem comes in with the fact that most of these people wouldn't know the truth if it came up and slapped them upside the face and told them in plain English or whatever language they would understand just what the truth really is. You see, the truth does not change according to the way you feel. It doesn't change according to your ideals or your politics, but that's the way Obama and all of these people think. They think as long as they say it, then what they're saying is the truth. And this whole thing goes all the way down the line. to people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and I will get to them after a while too, because this show, I ended up with so much material that I had to edit out a lot of stuff, or my show would have been 6 hours long today. They are doing so much stuff right now, people, that doing a show like this is simple. The hard part is trying to keep it short enough to be able to get it all in there. I mean, when I first started doing this show in 2007, it wasn't that easy to find this much stuff against what the government is doing to us. They actually had a little bit of backbone to try and hide some of it from us, so we didn't know what was going on. But not anymore. You see, the truth does not change. Well, you know, when it comes to the Reverend, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the UN has no jurisdiction. You know, the whole thing I'd said about this, you know, Jesse Jackson said that he came out and actually said that since the jury didn't do the right thing, that we needed to get the UN involved in this. And my idea on this, the UN has no jurisdiction over the courts of America, never has, and as long as the Constitution exists to protect this nation, it never will. So Jesse Jackson was wrong again, as usual, as they are almost always wrong. They just don't seem to know what in the heck they are doing and why they are doing what they are doing. It's amazing. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement, and we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up and then call in and be heard by the real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B2. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Now for the rest of the story, and I always wanted to say that one. How a Miami school crime cover-up policy led to Trayvon Martin's death. Now this one I found written by Robert Stacy McCain, and I don't think he's related to the one out of Arizona. I would hope not, but if he is, he's on the good side of the family. But he said the February 2012 shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin might never have happened if school officials in Miami-Dade County had not instituted an unofficial policy of treating crimes as school disciplinary infractions. Revelations that emerged from an internal affairs investigation explain why Martin was not arrested when caught at school with stolen jewelry on October 2011 or with marijuana in February 2012. See, he wasn't such an angel as the people who are against George Zimmerman think. But instead, the teenager was suspended from school the last time just days before he was shot dead by George Zimmerman. Trayvon Martin was not from Sanford, the town north of Orlando, where he was shot in 2012, and where a jury acquitted Zimmerman of murder charges Saturday. Martin was from Miami Gardens, more than 200 miles away, and had come to Sanford to stay with his father's girlfriend, Brandy Green, at her home in the townhouse community where Zimmerman was in charge of the neighborhood watch. Trayvon was staying with Green after he had been suspended for the second time in 6 months from Krop High School, that's K-R-O-P High School in Miami-Dade County, where both his father, Tracy Martin, and his mother, Sybrina Fulton lived, and I kind of wondered why they didn't have the same last name, but that's something else that goes on today, I guess. Both Trayvon's suspensions during his junior year at Croft High School involved crimes that should have led to his prosecution as a juvenile offender. However, Chief Charles Hurley of the Miami-Dade School Police Department in 2012 had implemented a policy that reduced the number of criminal reports, manipulating statistics to create the appearance of a reduction in crime within the school system. Does all this sound familiar, folks? The government or areas of the government working to change what is really happening, like unemployment. Unemployment, I'm thinking from the latest statistics I found out, is really somewhere around 16-17%, but according to the government, it's only like about 7.5%. But they fudge those reports, and it's just like this thing. They, in order to manipulate the system and reduce the number of criminal reports going to the police, they create the appearance of a reduction in crime within the school system. Less than 2 weeks before Martin's death, the school system commended Chief Hurley for decreasing school-related juvenile delinquency by an impressive 60% for the last 6 months of 2011. But what was actually happening was that crimes were not being reported as crimes and were instead treated as disciplinary actions. And that's just, you know, that's one of the other things that they're doing.
The opinions, views, and ideas expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on conservativenationradio.org are exclusively their own and are not necessarily the opinions, views, and ideas of the owners, advertisers, management, or staff of conservativenationradio.org. Thank you for listening to conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Now, I watched and tried to listen to a video of Piers Morgan, you know, that British idiot that always has something bad to say about America, and he never seems to be able to learn that when he invites people like Ted Nugent on his show or Larry Elder or some of these others that he invites on his show, he's going to get lambasted. But the problem with this is that even though it is hard to watch because of the stupidity that comes from Piers Morgan, it was fun to watch that it was really a knockdown, drag-out fight that Piers Morgan lost totally when he had Larry Elder on his show. And the thing that makes it hard to understand is the fact that, you know, even though he gets himself just totally lambasted all over the place, he doesn't realize it. He kept pushing up the points, you know, and it's just, the trouble is that Piers and all his liberal left-wing stupidness of glory just couldn't get that he was being bested. He kept bringing up points from the left about how smart one person or another person were because of their schooling. And the trouble with that was Mr. Morgan, you know, saying this like he was actually listening to this little show, which I know he isn't. But the trouble with that was that there are a lot of really smart people out there that have absolutely no common sense. And you can be smart as a whip as a person and have a lot of education and still do stupid things. And this is the point I think Larry Elder in the interview that he was in was trying to bring up. And I think I've got that audio somewhere, but I that's another one that I'm not sure if I even downloaded it. But here's what happened. And it was really amazing because Larry Elder just took it to him in the interview and was trying to make his points. And he actually came up with some really good ones. But all Morgan could come up with was, how many languages do you speak? To which Larry Elder rightly said, what relevance does this have to the Zimmerman case? But here's what happened. Piers Morgan was talking about the Zimmerman case, but Larry Elder schooled him on it, and Morgan didn't quite like it, so he changed the subject to Rachel Gentile. He was saying that if Larry Elder couldn't speak three languages like Rachel Gentile could, then he wasn't smart enough to say anything about her. The trouble is, and this applies to the whole left community that loves the liberal ideals, if you're smart, it doesn't matter if you have common sense or not, you're smart. And that's the way they think. What Larry Elder was saying was this, that you can be the most educated person in the world with all the schooling you need and know many different languages, but if you have no common sense, then you are not smart. Plain and simple, Barack Obama has no common sense either in a lot of areas. But Barack Obama is smart. But like I said, he's got no common sense. Piers Morgan definitely has no common sense, and even John McCain many times tends to throw his common sense out the window. But people, if you do not apply common sense to issues, then you will never fix those issues because you are not looking at them smartly. Zimmerman here was acquitted. And we have to stop listening to people like Geraldo. I heard him say, yeah, he was acquitted, and they said that he was not guilty, but that doesn't mean he's innocent. Geraldo has made a really neat turnaround in the fact that there's a lot of things that he's thinking right on a lot of things anymore, but there's also still a lot of things he's still totally wrong on that. And he has to, you know, we have to stop doing this. Nobody, I don't care who you are, you're not innocent on anything. You know, you may be innocent on a lot of things, but in your whole life, there's something you're not innocent about. And, you know, somebody should have just stood up and told him that one. But we have to stop looking at it the way the media is. If Zimmerman was a black guy and Trayvon Martin had been a white guy, and the jury let Zimmerman go, there would have been none of this idiocy going on from Barack Obama, Piers Morgan, Jesse Jackson, or Al Sharpton. The final word would have been the final word. Unless, of course, Zimmerman was convicted, and then it would be more of the same. idiocy from all over this whole thing. And I just have to come right out and, you know, this whole thing is just so frustrating and idiotic that it, if you are at all a thinking person, it's got to just make you stop and stumble backwards in amazement at how people can be this dumb. I don't remember a time when this much hubbub was made over a innocent thing, except for maybe OJ, but that was nothing compared to this one. This one, with the OJ trial, most of the people were actually watching what was going on. Most of the people were rather interested in what was going on there. I found polls in this one where only 26% of the people were even slightly interested in the outcome of this thing. And here we have the media and the Justice Department and Barack Obama and all of these people trying to make it into something it isn't. This is where our nation is going wrong, folks. And this is where we are going to have all kinds of problems if we don't straighten this whole thing out. And it has to be straightened out before too long, or we're going to have all kinds of problems here. Well, we already do have all kinds of problems because we went and elected somebody who really shouldn't even be in the White House right now, twice. And when we did that twice, we essentially gave Barack Obama the idea that whatever he wants is what he is going to get. And he's getting pretty frustrated right at the moment because he's not, which actually kind of thrills me to death because I think it's really kind of funny. But this whole thing with Zimmerman, you know, the final word on this should be that that jury acquitted him. Let him go home to his family. He's got one. Let him go back to living his life or trying to put back together his life that's been pretty well destroyed by this. I know if you had had this happen to you and you'd been acquitted, you would want to be allowed to go back to living your life as a free and law-abiding citizen again, now, wouldn't you? This whole thing just reeks of something that really can't even be mentioned here on this show. And I'm still having trouble understanding this. And we're coming up to the top of the hour now, and we will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Conservative Nation Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And I hope you stay tuned. We will be back in a short few moments.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
From the crossroads of America and the heartland, now comes the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host and his voice of reason in an unreasonable world, bringing you the news as it should be told, from behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom. And now, on with the show.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Okay, so we are back for this second hour, and I'm trying to find a ad that was supposed to be here, and there it is. I found it. Be right back.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the second hour of the show. From The Blaze, I found this one from Houston. Four men found living in deplorable conditions in a Houston garage on Friday. He told police that they were being held captive after being lured by promises of alcohol and cigarettes so that their captors could cash their public assistance checks, authorities said. Three of the men were malnourished and taken to a hospital after being discovered by officers responding to a 911 call about the home, Houston police spokeswoman Jody Silva said. Sergeant Stephen Murdoch described the living conditions as a dungeon. It has also been referred to as a prison room, and that's the way that the article listed this whole thing. And I just saw that brain damage. Those two words kind of describe a lot of what's going on in this nation. Investigators were still trying to determine how long the men had lived there. They said it may have been weeks. One of them claims to have been there for 10 years. Silva said the men told investigators they were forced to live in the garage, which included just one chair and no bed, so their captor could cash their assistance checks. They clearly stated to us that they were being kept against their will, Silva said. Local ABC affiliate KTRK reported that when the police arrived, the door was nailed shut and there was trash everywhere. The men were described as around 79, 54, 74, and about 65 years old, respectively. Silva said one person had been detained, but no charges have been filed. The individual didn't seem to be living in the house, she said. Four women were also found living in the house, three of whom appeared to have mental disabilities. She described the other woman as a caretaker. Unlike the garage, she described the living conditions inside the home were more normal. A neighbor called authorities Friday morning expressing concern about men in the house in North Houston. Murdoch the police sergeant said at least one of the men is a military veteran. He described them as malnourished and almost invalids. Now, when I hear this, it brought to mind another thing that we heard just a few weeks ago about the girls that were held for a long time in captivity, I think, in Ohio. And my idea here is just, what the heck is going wrong with our country here? And I can tell you, I think, has a lot to do with the liberal policies which have essentially taken consequences away from people who do bad things. For us who do the right things, the consequences are still there. Don't get me wrong here, but for people who do the wrong things and do them with the idea that they're going to continue doing them the way that they need to, to continue living the way they are, it just seems to me that we are all losing it here. And the American people have got to realize what is going on here, because if we don't, we are in real trouble. But I think, what we have to do is all of this idea that when we punish someone because of something that they do, that it is called cruel and inhumane treatment. Well, we have to stop thinking this way, because if we don't, what we are doing is setting up the next generation of people to go ahead and do the things that we as a society think are wrong. Because and they're going to do them because there's no consequences to their actions. And without consequences, people, we are going to see more and more of this kind of thing happening. And all this carp, or better use of another word, about how Zimmerman was the bad guy in the case that has captivated the media of late is exactly one of these things that shows the good guys are always the bad guys if they are legal Americans. Think about it here. If Zimmerman was an illegal and was in this country illegally, I would bet my house on it that he would not have even been brought to trial. Because in a poll I read about somewhere, and I'd mentioned this a few minutes ago, that only 26% of the people were even interested in what happened in this case. It was the media. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Piers Morgan, and others of the left who have kept this thing going. If Zimmerman was illegal instead of being a legal American, then we would not have heard anything about this, most likely. It may have been something as a passing mention on some channel somewhere, but that's about as far as it would have gone. And we would not have had so much horrible stuff happening on why things were going the way they were and the way they are. It just amazes me that all of a sudden here we are working to have a law and order country, and all of a sudden, no, we don't anymore, because things just aren't that way. And we are really setting ourselves up to have some bad times coming. I think I'm just at a complete loss here for what is going on. But here is Obama again talking about the Zimmerman case and what Trayvon Martin
Phone call just a second. I gave a preliminary statement right after the ruling on Sunday, but
Watching the debates over the course of the last week, I thought it might be useful for me to expand on my thoughts a little bit. First of all, I want to make sure that once again, I send my thoughts and prayers as well as Michelle's to the family of Trayvon Martin, and to remark on the incredible grace and dignity with which they dealt with the entire situation. I can only imagine what they're going through, and it's remarkable how they've handled it. The second thing I want to say is to reiterate what I said on Sunday, which is there are going to be a lot of arguments about the legal issues in the case. I'll let all the legal analysts and talking heads address those issues. The judge conducted the trial in a professional manner. The prosecution and the defense made their arguments. The juries were properly instructed that in a case such as this, reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works. But I did want to just talk a little bit about context and how people have responded to it and how people are feeling. You know, when Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago.
Okay, whoever had just called in, go ahead and call back. I was getting ready to answer your phone, and I did that audio. If you want to call back in, go ahead. I had that audio going on there. Obama right there said that Black Americans feel particular pain about Martin's shooting death because they are looking at this issue through a set of experiences and a history that doesn't go away. But he spoke very personally about his own experiences growing up as a Black man, saying there are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were in a department store, and that includes me. He always brings it up to him. But, you know, the thing that he did bring up here was the fact that the jury selection did the right thing. They deliberated and they came to a verdict, and the verdict stands. Now, in any normal thing, that's where it should end. I mean, he's the president. He said that the verdict came through and it stands. That's where it should end. But I don't think it's going to. And I hope that whoever called, I think it was the 832 area code on there, if they want to call back, I was in the middle of my audio and getting ready for it when I did it, and it was about 2 minutes long. But if you want to call back, go ahead. The number is 718-305-7176. But Obama actually said some of the right things there by saying that, you know, the jury did the right things. They deliberated the right way. They came to the right decision doing the things that they did, and they did them rightly. Like I was saying on this should end it. But I really don't think it will. And, you know, Obama said the Black community isn't naive about the fact that young Black men are just disproportionately involved in the criminal justice system. They're disproportionately both victims and perpetrators of violence, which is really very true. And ¶¶
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue skies.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Okay, Rand Paul is at it again. We have all heard that this week Detroit is bankrupt and wants to file bankruptcy. Now, this is something that the media has more or less ignored because it's one of their cities that has gone broke. And I've found it in several places. They've, you know, a couple of places have talked about it, but it really hasn't been a big thing in the media because they've kept their attentions on other things. But can you imagine the hubbub that would happen if the bankrupt city had been one like Indianapolis, Indiana, or Texas? You know, two cities from two of the three states running in the black. I would venture to say it would be all over the news because the administrations in these cities is conservative. So therefore, it would be something that would really, really be worth talking about to the liberal left because it would show conservatives failing at something. But this is not Lubbock, Texas, or Indianapolis, or any one of these other ones. I venture to say that, you know, if it was, it would be all over the news. But this one has had a mere mention of it, and then the media moves on to subjects they feel are more important. The reason why I hear these things is because I not only listen to NBC, CBS, and ABC, but also Fox News and the Blaze Network. I get my news off the internet from places like Political Pistachio, the Tea Party News Network, ConservativeNationRadio.org. So I'm getting both sides of the story, and then I research them, and much more than the main three networks do, but I digress. On this story of Detroit going bankrupt and filing, Rand Paul came out and said, Obama will bail out Detroit over my dead body. And I say hooray for Representative Rand Paul. In the article I found this in from Breitbart.com, said Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, said he will use every resource he has at his disposal to stop President Barack Obama from bailing out newly bankrupt Detroit because he believes the city can and must save itself and learn from its fiscal mistakes. He said, I basically say that he, Obama, is bailing them out over my dead body because we don't have any money in Washington. there's some good things that come out of bankruptcy, Paul said in a phone interview from Iowa. One is you get to start over. Bankruptcy lets you be forgiven of your debt, and you do so by getting new management, better management, and getting rid of unwieldy contracts and contracts that give you where public employees are getting paid twice what private employees are, and things come back more to normal. That's the way cities and businesses can recover. But that's not what happens when the government bails you out. Essentially, they'll bail you out. Then you go back to business as it was, and within a few years, those that don't have their house in order, who are teetering on disaster now, will continue to make bad decisions. And by the way, these local and state budget choices are tough decisions. And Rand goes on saying, I'm not saying they are all prescient and that it will be easy on everybody who works for the city or the state, but you need to make these decisions, and the sooner you make them, the better. If you wait to make them, it's even harder on the people. Detroit is just the latest in a long line of cities that have found themselves in financial trouble lately. Stockton, California is another example of a major city that needed to file for bankruptcy. Paul said that any federal bailout would only make those problems worse. And yeah, it would. You don't set up an implicit promise from the federal government that everybody is getting bailed out, Paul said. It's sort of like the too big to fail for banks thing. You remember that. How the bailing out of companies started with Sallie Mae and Freddie Mac, where they were bailed out with the government money. And then came GM, where it was told to us people that they were too big to fail. You remember this? I remember these things. And I also look back and I remember my dad telling me, if you've got a business and you fail because of your policies, then you deserve to fail. And somebody bailing you out and helping you out to continue doing the things that you did to fail in the first place isn't going to help you at all. And my idea on this one is no one is too big to fail. If they're not doing the things the way they should be and they run into financial trouble, then too bad, so sad. Let them go under. Someone or something else will always take their place as long as the free market system exists. Let them go under. Always has in a free market system, and that will always happen. If Detroit goes under, help will come. It might not be from the federal government. It might not be from some place that anybody can even imagine right now, but help would come. And chances are it would come from somebody coming in and saying, okay, this is how this has got to be run. We're going to do it this way. And then if it's run that way, then it'll come back. That's the way the free market system works. If Detroit goes under, help will come, but it shouldn't come from the federal government. Remember, if you don't want to put your money out to bail them out, then the federal government shouldn't, because it will be your money that does it. A fact that none of us should ever forget, because without our money, the federal government has none. And that's a big fact that a lot of people don't even think about. And it's easy to forget, because the money is something that, the money that goes to the federal government is something that we never see. We never think about it. We never really think of it as being our money. But it still comes from us, doesn't it? It still comes out of our pockets, doesn't it? If you would like to call in and join the conversation, the number is 718-305-7176. And we are having a lot of fun here, I think.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, we are kind of actually, today we're enjoying the weather here in Indiana. The last couple of days was our first 90-degree days of the year, and last year at that point in time when our first 90-degree weather came around this year, we had already had 30 of them last year at that point in time. So, and it's somewhere in the low 80s today, and it's kind of humid, but it's actually a lot nicer than it was yesterday. We were about 96 yesterday, and so it's a lot more comfortable out here in my studio, which really doesn't have any air conditioning right at the moment. I'm still working on getting that out here, but we are having a lot of fun. Like I said, if you want to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. We have so many things going on this week that I had a lot of troubles trying to figure out which one was important enough to talk about, which ones weren't. There were tons of things that I found that I eventually kind of threw off to the wayside. The Zimmerman case has taken over an awful lot of what I talked about today, and it essentially did last week too, which really it's something that needs to just go away, I think, now that the verdict has been given out. And this idea that in America, if you're an American, then you're bad, and if you're illegal, you're good. If you're too big to fail, you shouldn't. And, you know, if the government was going to act that way to where businesses shouldn't fail, then they need to do it to everybody. And if they, you know, and if they're going to try and do it to everybody, I can guarantee you it won't happen, because the money will not be there. The money is not there now. And this whole thing about Detroit, if Obama goes and does this whole thing with bailing it out, and Rand Paul is one of the few that will stand up and say, hey, no, this isn't right. We're not going to do this. It'll be done over my dead body. Then those are things that if even over Rand Paul and them, it still happens, then here's what's going to happen. We'll say this goes on and Detroit gets bailed out. It will get bailed out. And then it will just go back to doing the same things that got it into trouble in the first place. And in a few years, we will be right back to this point, bailing her out again, just like we did with the immigration thing. They're trying to push a new immigration law on us, saying that we have to pass a new law when there's already one on the books. It's not being enforced. Remember back in 1986, they passed an immigration law. It hasn't been enforced. And if anybody's thinking about this, all we have to do is stop and think and say, hey, now wait a minute here. We can't bail out Detroit. We can't make a new law when there's already a law out there right now that will do the same thing if it was freaking enforced. We have to enforce the laws that we have, because if we don't, making new ones will not help the situation any at all. Now, will it? ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. And now Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days free and 10% off the regular price from then on, but only through conservativenationradio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. Okay, now come on.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Unfortunately for all of us, the leader of the free world, given a choice today between leading us closer to healing and toward a better understanding of each other, or leading us farther into social decay, and this apparent desire amongst many, so many of us to deepen the self-made chasm that divides us, chose to highlight what separates us. It's stunning to me that rather than make even an attempt at bringing us closer together towards common ground, he chose instead to affirm the ugliness of racism as he laid blame for it at the feet of the white community. Despite countless examples of the extent to which racism is not only perpetrated but celebrated and revered in the black community, our leader insisted on doubling down on his very narrative he wanted us to believe his hope and change message was going to bring to a long overdue end. But make no mistake here, there were two victims in the Martin Zimmerman tragedy, and with every passing day, the hot tempers and ignorant mouthpieces of their relentless pursuit of Zimmerman's death, metaphorically and physically, with no desire to be smart about the opportunity they have chosen, instead to squander gunfight as horrible as it is that a person is dead. It is equally horrible that another person's life, despite the fact that he is still breathing, is over and forever ruined. This one goes right along with the fact that Obama seems to be able to do just about anything he darn well pleases, and there are no consequences to his actions, and only consequences to the American people and conservatives. We are living under a tyrannical government that we have elected. Isn't it about time we realized our mistake and shut this whole thing down? Do we really deserve or need to be led down that road our president has paved for us with our own hard money, hard-earned money, by the way? I say no. We deserve it to the extent that we voted him into office, not just once but twice, when we should have known better. But it isn't fair to the ones of us there were many of us who didn't vote for him either. So why do we just sit back and take his punishment without saying anything? I know that I have done just that through being silent, and I have not been one who has done a lot of things, and I've actually done a lot of things, don't get me wrong, but there's been a lot of times I've been silent when I shouldn't have been, just not as vocal as I needed to be. But that is going to be changing. I'm going to be doing more videos, which I've already gotten the planning stages, which lately have been coming out at a rate of about one every 5 months or so. And I used to do them about once every week, but I kind of got into the idea that since there weren't many people looking at them, that they really didn't need to be done. But something has to be done, and it really doesn't matter if it's seen by just a couple of people or if it goes viral and the whole world sees it or anything, you know, even if, you know, if you do something and it's only seen or heard from by about 20 people, you got to think about those 20 people are going to come up and say something about it. And then after, you know, whoever they say something about it to, you know, it may come up and end up being said to somebody else. And you never know how far even just a couple of people can make something be heard. And one of the things that keeps coming back to my mind is that, you know, one of the reasons I keep saying we have to do something is because if we don't, we're going to lose this great nation that we love, and it will fall just like Stalin said it would. You remember when he said it would fall from within without a shot being fired. And there is no sadder way for a great republic to be destroyed than that way, I assure you, without even a fight to survive. One of the main reasons I keep questioning why the lies that the administration and the government hand us are never questioned is because we have to start asking these questions. We have to start working on trying to save this nation, and we have to start jumping at the people who would call us terrorists because we believe in the Constitution and we believe in the rule of law and we believe in secure borders. What makes that a terrorist? You know, the first time I heard the government describing what I revere in this country as being a terrorist, it just kind of took me back. I had really no reply to this. It kind of made me wonder how our government got to be so far from the people in my lifetime. And it seemed like that it got that far from the people in my lifetime because they will say something and no one will stand up and shout back, "Hey, wait a minute. You lie," unless, of course, it's a Republican. You know, I was saying that, and all of a sudden, I remember that one speech, and I can't remember where he was. I think he was overseas when George Bush was talking, and somebody threw a shoe at him and said, "You lie." Well, of course, that'll happen because George Bush was a Republican. He may not have been a conservative like we want our representatives to be, but he was a Republican. that right there was bad enough. And the left has always had the cojones to go out and, even if they're wrong, yell at somebody else and say, you're wrong, you're lying, you don't know what you're talking about, you're a terrorist. We never have done that. And one of the reasons why we've never done that is because, and I've seen this said too many times, we don't want to lower ourselves to their level. But what about telling the truth and pushing the truth is lowering ourselves to their level? It's not. It really isn't. I mean, it actually puts us kind of like a bunch of notches above them because we're trying to push the truth instead of a law. And we, you know, it's the left has all these little people that they use in when something goes viral, like in the chat room, Cindy Sheehan was mentioned. Who's heard of her lately? Where has she been lately? She's disappeared. And the reason why she disappeared is because all of a sudden she is not saying what the left needs to be saying. And she may be hiding. I don't know. Maybe she's had some death threats because she didn't say the right thing. I don't know. All I know is she isn't in the limelight anymore. Like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you the Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, now would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, and that's tomorrow night, Sundays, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. U.S. crude, whose market price Friday exceeded its international counterpart for the first time since 2010, is expected to continue its relentless advance if the United States keeps outperforming other major economies. Economic problems have waylaid both China and Europe, both two of the world's most voracious crude consumers, and darkened the outlook for global demand. But that has done little to impede the rally in West Texas Intermediate, which over the past year has surged by more than 18% as the U.S. demand outpaces that of other countries. Simultaneously, global benchmark Brent has slumped by 5%. We have seen a considerable amount of WTI outperform relative to Brent recently as the U.S. economy outperforms other global economies such as the Eurozone, U.K., and certain parts of Asia. With George Davis, Chief Technical Analyst of RBC Capital Markets in Toronto, with new and reversed pipelines now in place and an improved rail infrastructure providing the increased capacity to move crude, the glut has been weighing on WTI relative to Brent has largely been removed, he added. U.S. crude is what is going to help this nation. And it is time that we started to realize this. America has a lot of oil, maybe more than the Middle East. But the liberals and the environmental wackos are working hard to keep us from getting our oil from the ground, to keep us dependent on the Middle East for their, you know, for our oil and gasoline coming through them. And this is suicide because that part of the world is full of people who hate us. That is the big part of what we need to know. We have to be self-reliant and be strong, to be self-reliant and strong in this world. We can't be if we are dependent on our enemies for our oil. You know, if we're dependent on our enemies for our oil, how the heck are we going to beat them? Because all they'd have to do is cut the oil and that'd be the end of it, really, if you think about it.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Cool. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
We got to continue this conversation, gentlemen, privately on television. I mean, a lot of people out there. I'll just tell you one thing, and I'm speaking now for all white people, but especially people who have tried to change the last 50 or 60 years. And a lot of them have really tried to change. And I'm sorry for this stuff. That's all I'm saying. Val Nicklaus, thank you. And Michael Steele, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you for being colleagues of mine. We'll be right back after this. We got to continue this conversation.
Okay, area code 931, hello.
Oh, hey, Robert, it's me, Bing. You should know that number by now.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, who was that clip you just played? Was that Alex Jones?
No, that was Chris Matthews apologizing for all of the white people. I had written down here that while hosting two black guests, Chris Matthews on Thursday took it upon himself to apologize for racism on the behalf of all white people, and that was pretty much what that was. And all I had to do was just say, hey, now wait a minute here, you're not apologizing for me. I didn't do anything wrong.
No, I didn't either. I mean, I guess his leg was tingling.
Yeah, and I'd seen your phone number, and I answered it, and I thought, after I answered it, I thought, no, wait a minute, he's probably just calling to listen.
Oh,
I put
well,
you
no,
on the radio
I mean,
anyway.
I could be a liberal troll if you want me to, but, I just want to talk about our show tomorrow with me and Michael B. Smith, and we're going to have Gary O'Neill on. And Gary O'Neill, if you Chief Warrant Officer Gary O'Neill, I have to really preface that because this guy's a warrior and author of American Soldier, and we're going to have him on our show tomorrow, and we're going to interview him, and we're going to have him on for a full hour. So he's also going to give away a free book of American Warrior, and so be there and, be square and, get your calls in and that kind of thing. So. I'm excited about it, and I just had a good day today. Everything, there was things that turned out in my stead, put it that way. So, but great show, Robert.
Yeah.
And with the race baiting people out there, everybody needs to stop all the way up from the president all the way down. You know, they just need to stop because there's nothing to see here. Move on, folks. You know,
well,
that's the way I look.
You know, the one thing that really caught my attention was that actually Barack Obama even came out and said that the jury had done everything right. They did the right thing. The defense for Zimmerman did the right things. The prosecutors did the right things. That the verdict was reached, then that needs to be the end of it. Well, I don't think it will be, but even the president said so.
No, it won't be, because these people are race baiters. That's all they are. That's all they're out there for. The Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, and you know, hopefully soon you'll all move on. Excuse me, frog in my throat or something. Hopefully soon, maybe it was the devil, but no. Hopefully soon they'll die off and they'll just move on, and there'll be somebody else probably taking their place. But the thing is Trevin Martin was no Satanist, you know. So, and with this lean stuff that he was cooking up and all that kind of stuff, I don't know. You know, I just say move on. There's nothing to see here because the guy was proven innocent. And Eric Holder can sit there and drum up whatever he wants, and it's political baiting. It's all political, you know, it's all politics is what it ends up. Now, that's what it is right now, is politics. They have no case.
Yeah.
They can't prove it, and they know it.
Yeah.
So. But anyways, great show, Robert.
Okay, well, thank you. I've got another phone call. It's no phone number there. It's 111 area code here. See if
good afternoon, you pieces of shit. Why don't you suck a fart out of my ass?
Okay.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Move on.
I shouldn't have answered that one, huh?
I mean, that just shows that there are liberal idiots out there, you know, and people wonder what happened to Detroit. That's what happened to Detroit.
You know, that actually kind of makes me feel good because when you start getting to a liberal's goat and start hitting them with truth they don't like, then they come back and do things like that to you. So I guess I'm getting to somebody, huh? That kind of made me feel good, actually, a little bit. But tomorrow night for the show, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Tomorrow night with Uncle Bing and Michael B on the show tomorrow night, be sure to listen. It sounds like it's going to be a good one. And you might possibly come away with a free book or something. And no, I won't, because I'm probably exempt.
Your management,
but,
you're not allowed.
Yeah. Well, employees and management, they're always not allowed, but that's okay. That, you know, it'd be a good show to listen to tomorrow night, and it ought to be a good one, since we got a show every night of the week now, which. Starting on the 1st, I think, is what it said. So that
yeah, and that's
good.
Very cool. Yeah, that's very cool that we got a show every night of the week, or every day of the week anyway. So, but great show, Robert. Keep it up, man. Numbers are great, and, you know, we love this show.
Well, thank you.
And I'll explain my term race baiting, okay? That was in the chat channel.
Okay.
I'll explain that tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So that gives us all something to look forward to, other than his what he's going to have on there that he mentioned. But one of the things that we have gotten, and thank you for calling in on that one.
Thank you, Robert.
Mm-hmm. We have, if you haven't noticed on the things that have been going on, all of the stuff that were hurting Obama a few months ago, and all the scandals and everything, most of those have all disappeared now. They're not there anymore. And I'm afraid that we're going to be starting to forget things, you know, and we can't be forgetting the stuff that should have caused at least mass outrage, impeachments, firings, general head rollings, you know, things like Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, Michael Hastings' car accident. And if you remember, I talked about that about a month ago. The AP, Fox, CBS News spying, SEAL Team 6 helicopter crash. There's a SEAL Team helicopter crash, Common Core, NSA spying, threatened implementation of executive orders, ignoring legal freedoms and Information Act requests, policy implemented on bogus climate change. And we got another one coming on this one, folks, so don't think that that's going to be the end of it, because it's another one's coming in. The mysteriously overstocked Department of Homeland Security. Unfortunately, I could continue with this until it reached the sun, probably, with what all has been going on. Republican lawmakers have made serious errors as well, but you'd think Obama voters would have expected more from their transparent guy. Remember, he did say he was going to have the most transparent administration ever. And if you want to think about it, it's been pretty dang transparent, really. We know everything that he's done wrong, and they've made big excuses on it. But I'm starting to believe that if Obama had popular right-wing pundits jailed for expressing their political beliefs, his followers would celebrate. We have to take this nation back before the liberal left and their bedmates, the media and Hollywood, destroy it. And that's just the way it is. This is Robert the Infidel Garding with this edition of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on conservativenationradio.org through Blog Talk Radio. We now have a show, like I said, every day of the week, with the new show on Thursday. Sunday nights is Soldiers of Patriotism with Bing Fisher and Michael Smith. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday night are the Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Thursday is our new show, Second Amendment Forum, with Paul Sabula. I hope I said that right. I hope that you listen to it coming to us on the 1st. And on Friday, it's Chris Manti Show, and of course, yours truly on Saturdays. Until next week, I hope you all have a safe week and a great day, and I'll start my ending song now, and hope you all come back next week for the same liberal eye busting. God bless you all.